Lord, for another opportunity to be here and to share the Word of God with you. I didn't think I was going to be up here tonight. You pray for us that the Lord will open His Word to our hearts. And that's what this message is about tonight. It's about our hearts. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter, and the eighth verse. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." This is Paul speaking. He said that he was the least of all saints. In another place he said, "I'm chief among sinners." Not past tense. He didn't say, "I was chief." He said, "I am chief." We look at this man and we think, oh, the great things that he was able to accomplish. But yet we have to realize he was just a man, just like you and I. And you know, the Lord would like to accomplish great things with us too.
Yes.
There was a young boy in Bakersfield. He was Brother Carnell Montgomery's son. And come to a Fresno meeting some years ago, and he went to the altar. He was about 10 years old and he got saved. And afterwards, I went to talk to him and encourage him. And I said, "Son," I said, "the Lord wants to do great things with you." Yeah. And he said, "I know." I'm glad he knew. There was no exaltedness there. He knew that God can do great things, even with a 10-year-old, if they'll give themselves over.
Yes.
"Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Unsearchable. Riches that are unsearchable. What does that mean to you and I? There's no way to find them. How do we search it out? These riches that have been hid from the foundation of the world. The mystery that's in Christ Jesus. Dear ones, I want us to read a story. And I think it'll help us to come to an understanding. Let's go to Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts, the 16th chapter, and I want to begin at the 13th verse. "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was to be wrought, where prayer was wrought to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted hither." This was a place, the Jews often had places that they would go and they would worship. This was a place by a riverside that they would go, and here was a place of the women. The women liked to go here. And they would talk about God and they would pray together. While Paul and Silas and Luke, we know from history that they were there, but there may have been other brother there also. But they went down there to meet with the women. And to talk to them. "And on the Sabbath day, the day of worship, we went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wrought to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted hither." To talk of the things of God. To sit down and talk to these women that came there to worship. I can't help but think that these women came because their hearts had already been touched by God in some way. You know, we talk about opening our hearts to Christ. We have that picture that's so famous of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, and there's no door handle on that side. It's up to us to open the door of our heart and invite Him in. And I believe that's true. I believe there's an opening that we have to give unto the Lord. But dear ones, I want to back up and talk about me. My heart was so hard. My heart was so hard. I couldn't open it to the Lord. So the Lord had to begin to deal with me and bring me down to a place where I said, Lord, it's enough. I can't do this anymore, Lord. I need your help. I thought I was going to lose my mind. It got so bad and so heavy upon me. But dear ones, that was the mercy of God.
Yes.
And He began to soften my heart.
Yes.
And He made it so I was able to open the door. 14th verse. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Now, get a hold of this. It said, whose heart the Lord opened. She didn't open it. Paul didn't open it. Silas or Luke, none of them opened her heart. It says here that the Lord opened her heart. Dear ones, there's an opening of the heart that only the Lord can accomplish. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but that's okay if you haven't. The Lord wants to open our hearts much different than us opening our hearts to Him. And here it says that she was a worshiper of God. You see, her heart already was leaning towards God. She went down there to worship Him. I believe her heart was already open to all she knew and understand. But as she heard the Word of God come forth from the apostles, it said, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. More than just, I'm hearing this. I'm hearing what the apostles are saying, but I'm going to attend to it. In other words, I'm going to listen and I'm going to work upon this. I'm going to move upon it. I want this to go down into my heart and to my soul. I'm going to attend to it. You know, when you attend to something, you ever attended to chicken coop? When I was a little boy, it was my job to take care of the chickens. I had to attend to them. It means I had to go out and make sure that they were taken care of. And they had all the things they needed. Here she attended to the word that was spoken by the apostles. And in so doing, the Lord opened her heart.
Thank the Lord.
Now I want to read you what Matthew Henry had to say about opening of the heart. Open heart. Open to divine light. Divine law. Divine love. Thus open to Christ. Ear open to His Word. The lips open to His prayer. Hands open to charity. And the steps enlarged in all manner of gospel obedience. And I thought, yes. How fitting that is. Dear ones, the Lord wants to open our hearts so that we too can get a hold of the deep thing. The unsearchable riches that are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
It's going to take an opening of our heart, and only the Lord can do that. But when He does it, it brings it to this place. It's open to divine light.
Yes.
Open to divine law.
Yes.
Divine love. Uh-huh. Thus open to Christ.
Yes.
Open our hearts up to get a fuller measure of the love of Christ. And then our ears open to His Word. And our lips open to pray. Hands open to love and charity. And steps enlarged in all manner of gospel obedience. Dear ones, the unsearchable riches of God comes with an opening of our heart. Sometimes it's hard to put into words the things that God does for us. The time when He sends down His love, and the time when He teaches us some of those deep things, and glory fills our souls. How do you explain that to the world? Those are some of the unsearchable riches that come to us because the Lord was able to open our heart. Here, this seller of purple, her name was Lydia. She attended to those things. And it goes on to prove it. 15th verse. And when she was baptized, and her household. You know, the Jews that were living, to all they knew and understand under the Mosaic law, When the day of grace came, when Christ came, they really had just a step over and say, I believe this. This is the Son of God.
Bless the Lord.
And any infraction, if they just took care of it with the sacrifice, it wasn't there, was it? They could have just stepped over. But so many refused. But this woman didn't. She went down there to worship God and then heard the gospel. And the Lord opened her heart. And then she was baptized. And her household. And she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me. Now think about this for a minute. How many of you have looked at your brothers and sisters in Christ and said, look at me. Judge me. Have you ever asked to be judged? Isn't that what she just did? If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Now, I want to make a commitment to you tonight. And I've had ministers tell me, Brother Rich, you shouldn't do that. But it's me. It's my nature. If you see something in me that you feel is a hindrance in my walk with God, I want you to come to me and tell me. I don't want you to be afraid of my face or my reactions. I want you to tell me because my soul is at stake. And if you hold the key, please, don't withhold from me. My soul could be on your hands. You have my permission to judge me. And tell me. And we'll let the Holy Ghost work it out from there. Be faithful to me. Lydia says here, if ye have judged me, look at me. You've only known me for just a little while. How is it that they can judge her? Let me tell you something, saints. There's a judgment that we sometimes fall short on. It's called judging in the Spirit. Yeah, we may not know somebody because we haven't been around them, never stayed in their home, never ate with them. But can we know them in the Spirit? I had a young man come up to my car. I was putting some dog food in the trunk of my car. I seen this young Mexican boy coming to me and he had a glow about him. He literally had a glow about him. And he came up to the car and he was selling these little trinkets for $1. And it was for a missionary fund that they were helping the alcoholics and drug addicts to get off the street. They had a mission where they would take them in and get them cleaned up and preach the gospel to them. So I gave him $1. He started to give me something. I don't want that. I don't want that. But I want to know about you. You want to know about me. I seen a glow about him. I knew there was something special there. I want to know about you. Why are you doing this? How do you know these people? He said, I was an alcoholic. I think he was 23 or 24 years old, had a wife and 2 children. He said, I got to a point where I was losing my wife, losing my children. I was losing everything. I couldn't give up the booze. He said, but these people found me. And they helped me. And he said, something happened. I said, something happened? He said, yes, something happened. Well, what happened? He said, I don't know. You don't know what happened? He said, no. I said, has the Lord forgiven you? Yeah, the Lord's forgiven me. I said, is He coming to your heart? Well, I think that He's coming to my heart. I said, you've got salvation, son. I said, the Lord has forgiven you and saved you and delivered you from alcohol. He wants to give you back your wife and your children and all those things that the devil stole from you through alcohol. I said, now He's in your heart. He's living. I put my hand on Him, right? I said, He's living right here. And he says, yeah. He said, that's exactly what happened. He didn't even know. He didn't even know. But there was a witness, his spirit with my spirit.
Thank the Lord.
I've never seen him before. I've only talked to him for a couple minutes. And I knew God had done something special for this young man.
Thank the Lord.
Can I say I know him? Can I know him in the spirit? Dear ones, we can know each other in the spirit. If I've got the spirit and love of God in my heart, and you've got the spirit and love of God in your heart, why can't we know one another?
My Lord.
Shouldn't there be a blending of our spirits? Shouldn't there be a unity? If there's not a unity, something is wrong with one of us, or probably both of us. I remember I hadn't been saved very long, and that question came to me. You've got 10 men in a room. Because I'm hearing, you know, I come from a religious background. And that's all I'm going to say about it. It was religion. There wasn't much there. Just a lot of religion. They had a show of godliness, but denied the powers thereof. And I remember hearing this and hearing that, and no one agreed. And I said, Lord, how can this be? Get 10 men, put them in a room, and you have 10 different opinions. And so far removed from one another, none of them can be joined together anyway. I said, Lord, at least 9 of them have got to be wrong. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, all 10 could be wrong. He said, I'm right. I said, yes, Lord, I got that. I got that.
Yep, Lord.
You see, there was a unity between me and this young Mexican boy.
Yes.
I seen a glow. The Lord let me see a glow about him. And I could say, this is my brother. He knows the same Christ. He's been saved and delivered from the same Christ that I got saved and delivered through.
Yes.
The same blood touched him that touched me.
Amen.
Dear ones, we can know. Lydia's saying, hey, did you judge me? Look upon me. And if you have judged me, to be faithful to the Lord. How can you do that in just a few minutes? It's got to take more than just what the eyes see, doesn't it? There's got to be a blending. Well, if you've judged me, and I'm giving you permission to judge me, and if you found me faithful, then come to my house and abide there. I mean, the Lord really opened her heart, didn't He? Now she's willing to give all that she has to these strangers.
My Lord.
Because they brought to her the gospel of Jesus Christ. That opened her heart. She knew something had happened. She knew something had taken place. And like the young Mexican boy, she may not know what it was at that particular time, but something had happened. Dear ones, the Lord wants to open every one of our hearts. That's where the deep things of God are at. That's where the unsearchable riches can be found. It's going to take an opening of our heart, and it's going to take the Lord to do it. And it says she constrained us. What's it mean to constrain someone? It means she wasn't letting them go. She wasn't taking no for an answer. You've shared with me spiritual things. Now I'm going to share with you my temporal things.
Yes.
You've ministered unto me, and now I'm going to minister unto you. And she wouldn't take no for an answer. And they went home with her. Dear ones, all it took was an opening of the heart. Lord, please open our hearts. The 9th chapter. First verse. I'm not going to read all this. This is the story of Saul on his way to Damascus. And how light shined around him, and a voice said unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? 4th verse. Now the 5th. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What a turnaround. Went from persecuting and killing the saints of God. And then Jesus appears to him and he says, Lord, is this you?
Jesus.
Yes. This is Jesus of Nazareth. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? A turnaround.
Yes.
A complete turnaround. And he says, arise and go into that city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Paul, with all his education, how he prospered in the Jewish religion, taught by Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers of the time, a Pharisee of the Pharisee. And he said, you go into town and there's going to be somebody tell you what to do. Dear ones, are we willing to listen to a man tell us what to do?
Lord.
It takes a humbling.
Yeah.
But dear ones, it's going to come to all of us.
That's
right. I've heard people say, Paul went out into the desert for so many years and no one taught him. He didn't know anything. He got it all from God, directly from God. And we can get it directly from God. Well, amen. Okay. But the Scripture doesn't say that. It said he went in and a man told him what to do. Are we willing to have men tell us what to do? By the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. And dear ones, let me tell you, it's foolish, preaching is. But there's power of God behind it because it's His law. It's His plan. And it's the plan of salvation.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. Are we willing to humble ourselves and let someone help us? The reason why this is so on my mind is, you see, I'm coming back from Russia and I'm coming back from Germany and Austria. And there, if someone goes to the altar, they won't let anybody go and help them. You don't pray with them. They say, let the Holy Ghost do it. They don't need you. The Holy Ghost will do it. Dear ones, I see here where God uses men and women to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were there about 6 months ago and I preached and a young brother, his name was Victor. He said, Brother Rich, through an interpreter. He didn't speak English and I didn't speak German. He said, I need for you to pray with me. Counsel with me. I need help. This is something they just didn't do, but he had such a need. And so I said, okay. And so we went in to be alone. And his brother-in-law, Brother Allen, came to interpret. And a Russian brother by the name of Dmitry said, Brother Rich, can I come and learn? And I said, Brother Dmitry, we'll have to ask Brother Victor. Oh, he said, I've already asked Brother Victor. He said, I had to ask you. I said, well, you're welcome to come if he said it's all right. They didn't even know the process of counsel and prayer. So we got down on our knees and I asked him to tell us. And he began to open up all that he was going through and how discouraged he was and how the devil had robbed him of his victory and of his joy. He went on and the Lord gave me some thoughts and through an interpreter I was able to talk to him. And I asked him if he was ready to pray and he began to pray and he was crying and praying. I didn't know what he was saying, dear ones, but I could feel it. My spirit told me that this was a sincere, honest prayer. That he meant business for God. And he didn't want to get up off there until he had that victory that he desired. And when he got through praying, I prayed. And I don't remember if I asked the interpreter. I think I asked the interpreter to interpret as I prayed. And I went slow and I prayed for him. But I told the brothers, I said, brothers, I want you to lay your hands on him. We want him to know that we love him. And we care for his soul.
Yes.
And we laid our hands on him, the three of us, and we began to pray. When I got done praying, I asked Brother Allen and the other, Brother Dmitry, I said, do you brothers feel inspired? Is the burden upon your heart that you need to pray for this brother? Then by all means you pray. Brother Allen just started him praying. And he prayed with all his heart and for all he was worth. This was his brother-in-law. He loved him. And he prayed. And when we got up from there, Brother Victor had a smile from ear to ear. And he said the Lord had met him and he had the victory.
Thank the Lord.
And the Russian brother just sat back and looked. Never seen anything like that. It's brand new to him. The door's been opened for us, dear ones. But there's much to know and much to learn. But the honesty and the hunger that those souls showed us. Dear ones, if you want to go over there and preach a watered-down truth, you're wasting your time. They want it hard and they want it straight. They want to know it right down the line. And don't you think that they're uneducated. They don't know. They've read every book, I think, the Faith and Victory has ever published. And we're going way back there from the beginning. And they've asked me some questions that I just can't answer. Well, this book taught so... I'm sorry, I haven't read that book. Well, what about this book? I haven't read that book either. And finally I got to a point, I'm just going to have to be honest with you, I can't answer some of these questions. And they said, Brother Rich, thank God. We're so tired of people that come over here and think they've got all the answers. And we know they don't. Because we study. And we look and we search. I don't have all the answers.
Praise the Lord.
But God does. Yes. And the Word of God does.
Yes.
And He met with us.
Yes.
And He gave us what we needed. And He blessed them.
Yes.
And then they said, will you come back? There's going to be a meeting in Russia. Will you come back? And I'm looking at my wife and she's looking at me. Well, if the Lord wills. And then we get an email and say, if we buy your tickets, will you come? How do you say no? How do you say no? Then they sent us the itinerary and gave us the dates. And we went there in the name of the Lord.
Yep, Lord.
And the Lord blessed. Different culture. Different people. But their hunger for the Word of God was real.
Yes.
They wanted the Word of God. And they didn't want it watered down. They wanted you to call out things. You know, some people say, oh, don't call out things. They want things called out. They want to know. Because they hold the security and the safety of their souls very precious to them.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
Lord, help us. An opening of the heart. Job, I'm not going to turn there. Job 23 and 16 said, God maketh my heart soft. You look at all that Job went through. And through it all, God softened his heart.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible tells us Jesus learned obedience by the things that He suffered.
Yes.
Jesus, the Son of God, had to suffer some things. Born as a little child, grew up. I wonder how many times He skinned His knees. Bloodied His nose. I don't know, but He was a little boy. But all He had learned, did He get the measles, the mumps, the chicken pox? I don't know. But the Scripture says He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. And Job said, He maketh my heart soft. Dear ones, the Lord wants to soften our heart.
Yes.
And He wants to open it. He wants to expand us in the things of God. Lord, help us. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. In whom the God of this world hath blinded... Well, you know something? I need to go back. I need to go up a little bit. Let's start the 2nd verse. It says, well, it may not make sense. Let's go to the first. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Renounced the hidden things of dishonesty.
Yes.
Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The hidden things of dishonesty, dear ones, if you've got anything in your heart, God knows. My wife recently was dealing with a young lady and she wanted to get saved. And she began to confess things in her life, and my wife told me that she confessed to some things that She thought that she must have cleaned out everything, just laid it all out there. Surely, she had come clean. And she prayed, and my wife said she prayed a beautiful prayer. But after the prayer, my wife asked her, said, "Are you saved?" And she said, "I don't know." The next day, she went into a rampage and was cursing her husband, doing some very ugly things. And the husband called my wife and was telling her and getting some counsel. And my wife began to realize that she didn't confess at all. There was something she was holding back. And because she was holding it back, she might have been thinking she was holding it back from my wife, but she was holding it back from God. God's the one that saves. You can't get through holding on to things. Lord, help us to come clean. To renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost.
Yes.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Lord, would you open our hearts?
Lord.
Has the devil, the God of this world, been able to blind us in any way? Dear ones, there was years that I couldn't see. We had an old minister who used to come by from time to time. His name was Egbert Allen. Some of you remember old brother Egbert Allen. He couldn't see. He was blind. He remember he had a watch. He'd pull out his pocket. He'd hit the button and he'd tell him what time it was. He used to say, "I once could see and I was blind." He said, "But now I'm blind and I can see." God had opened his spiritual eyesight. God wants to open up our eyes, dear ones, and He wants to open up our hearts. He wants to open up the rich things that He has for you and I. But it's going to take an opening. May the Lord help us. John, the 12th chapter. John, the 12th chapter, the 37th verse, 37-40. It says, "But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their ears, and be converted, and I should heal them." Oh, we like healings, don't we? And we like conversions. But dear ones, it's going to take an opening of the hearts, of the mind, of the eyes. And it's going to take the Lord.
Yes.
And only the Lord can do that. May the Lord help us. Luke, the 24th chapter. Luke 24, and I want to read the 32nd and the 45th. The 32nd says, "And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while we walked with Him by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures?" This is the two brethren that were walking on their way, and Jesus came beside him, began to walk with him, and He seen their sad countenance. Ask them, "Why are ye so sad?" They turn, "Are you but a stranger here? And that you don't know what's going on, that we thought that Christ the Messiah had come." But he's been put to death.
My Lord.
And he began to talk to them. He began to open their hearts, and he opened the Scriptures unto them. And they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? Because he opened the Scriptures, now we see and now we understand. Because God was dealing with their hearts first and now with their understanding. Did you know that it takes the heart to understand? The 45th verse. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. There's the Lord again. Opening up their understanding, that they may know and understand the Scriptures. Matthew, the 7th chapter. And I want to begin at the 7th. And I'm just going to read the 7th and 8th verses. It says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, I've got some writing here. And it's talking about ask. To ask means to seek. It means to knock. I want something. I'm asking for something. And then it says to ask. What's it mean to you to ask? In the spiritual sense, I'm asking the Lord for something. My daughter goes to a church. It's one of those mega churches. You know, where they have 7,000 people and a morning offering may come in at $15,000. I know that because she was telling me about it. And it takes a lot of money to have them mega churches with the big gymnasiums and the art rooms and the music and all the things that they do. But my wife had gone there one day and she seen their creed and it was on the board. And it said, to trust God for divine healing is to force the hand of God, and that's wrong. Well, she came home and told me that. And I said, force God's hand? How do you force God's hand? If I knew how to force God's hand, there wouldn't be a sick person amongst us. I'd reach up and grab him and I'd be touching everybody.
Amen.
But I've never learned how to do that. All I know to do is to beg. I'm nothing but a beggar. Lord, please help. Lord, we have this sick brother or sister. Would you please have mercy and help them?
Yes, Lord.
I'm just a beggar. That's what it means to ask. I'm begging. How many times can you ask somebody for something until they start thinking, well, you're just begging? Dear ones, when I come to God, I'm going to keep asking until I get an answer. So you can just call it begging the very first time I ask. It's okay with me. I know I'm just a beggar. And that's okay. And then seek. When you're seeking the things of God, it's to seek it like you've lost something.
Yep,
you know that woman that lost that piece of silver and she swept the entire house until she found it. She wasn't going to stop until she did. Dear ones, it'd be well for us to not stop until what we seek for we can find.
Yep,
leave no stone unturned. Seek with care and application. And then to spiritually knock. Knock with earnestness and perseverance. How many times can we come to the great judge until he says yes? I got to ask you a question. Why doesn't God answer every prayer that we pray? Why doesn't God answer every prayer that we pray?
We'd be spoiled.
That's good. I like that. I like that. You're right. We'd be spoiled. Well, if He did everything we asked for, He'd be the servant, wouldn't He? He'd be serving us and we'd be the God. I asked that question in Ohio, and Brother Larry said, because he knows what's good for us. And yes, that's true. He doesn't answer every prayer we pray because He knows what's good for us.
Yes.
He knows how to make us wait, and He knows how to make us, that we might learn. He wants to open up our heart, and He wants us to obey Him and learn obedience by it. May the Lord help us. I want to go to Psalms, and I'm going to close here with this scripture. Psalms 119. 119 and 130. It says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." I resemble that remark, the simple. I know that I'm a simple man. But I can get a hold of this thing. God has saved my soul. All I had to do was humble myself and say, "Lord, I did some knocking, I did some seeking, and I did some begging, I did some asking. And the Lord heard me, and He answered, and He saved my soul." I'm glad this gospel is for the simple. Because that includes us all, doesn't it? Has the Lord opened your heart to that greater understanding, to the riches of His glory? If not, you can ask Him, "Lord, open my heart like it's never been opened before." Amen. You pray for me.